Have a laugh at yourself when you're a sleazy dribbler. Boys, that's our last show for the year, so have been great working with you for the last 12 months, and well, it hasn't been quite that for Nick, but have a good Christmas, boys, and I know you're going to stay on for Saturdays and work through.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks for your help too, Duff. I've really enjoyed
done
the
a good
last
job.
3 months.
You've done a good job. You'll improve.
Good on you, boys.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know what? We're going to keep a close eye on Nick Ashman and Jimmy Doyle.
Exactly.
That's what's coming up in the new year. Okay, thanks, boys.
Thanks,
and thanks for joining us. It's goodbye from Perth. See you later, folks.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut. Thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Tour.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
Changer. It's the first time he's finished above a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And a very good morning to you, Simon Harrison, with you at 2 minutes after 10, our first Sunday morning Tab Talk for a few weeks. I just mentioned that the wrap will be back from next Sunday onwards, reflecting on all things racing from the Saturday. We'll have stewards updates and tab information as well. So the wrap on air next Sunday morning from 9. Trent Langscale from tab.com.au. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon.
Watching Thoroughbred Weekly there, did you work out your horse name?
I was hoping the graphic would start for just a touch longer there, Simon, but I definitely know the birth date, so there's no worries there, but
yeah.
We'll have to find that somewhere along the line. That could be a bit of a worry there. I could be a dribbler as well, like Nick Ashman and Greg Radley, but yeah, that was an interesting way, a sleazy, suspicious dribbler.
I wound up a ginger tackle box, so... go and find out what yours is for next week. Anyway, on Tab Talk this morning, Pat Welsh from Channel 7 about to join us to discuss the PGA. John Pirrick a little later on to look at the first one day at the SCG between the Aussies and New Zealand. And then Gary Moore will join us towards the end of the show to chat about how takedowns arrived in Hong Kong. And he's also got a few in at Hawkesbury this afternoon. But first of all, from Channel 7, Pat Welsh is on the line. Pat, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And Doat going pretty well. He's still on top of the leaderboard, but Barter the Third's closing, I've noticed.
Yeah, spectacular finish. Harold, yesterday, didn't he? He's only on his second appearance here at the PGA, but he's a big fan favourite already. Likes to play a hand of blackjack or two, which he's mentioned. He's losing at the moment. Won a small bet with Scott Hend yesterday because he pumped out a drive 360-odd metres. So, look, there's plenty of fun about Harold. He enjoys his time down under, and he's a genuine contender this afternoon.
Because he was in this last year, wasn't he? And that's where he made the cut.
Yeah, he got beaten in a playoff last year. So, look, he likes this golf course, and that does help. You often track the history of events, no matter where they are in the world, and it gives you a pretty good guide, especially for us punters. If the course suits a certain player's eye, they normally perform well there. And obviously this place, which Graham Marsh has completely redesigned over the last few years, suits Harold's eye.
Now, Trent, with the latest tab market, you've got Doat at the top of betting at $3, but it's pretty close behind him with Scott and Varner the Third on $4.
Well, that's right, Simon. So Andrew Doat there, 14-under. He has a two-shot lead. He is the $3 favourite. You have Harold Varner the Third at 12-under and Adam Scott at 10-under. They're both at $4. Ash Hall, who was really close in the Australian Open a fortnight ago, he's at 12-under and currently $6. John Sendon is still around the market, 10-under. He's at $10. And they seem to be the five chances coming into the final round because then Ryan Fox is the best of the rest at $41. So it has been interrupted due to the weather there, Pat, but Andrew Doat, he started beautifully on Thursday into Friday with the 65 and just backed it up with the 67. The 70 is a dual winner on the European Tour, but this would be so much to him to win a tournament in his country.
Yeah, look, I think Australian golf has a lot of these hidden gems, if we can call it that. Now, obviously, Scott and Day attract, you know, the biggest attention right through the year because we see them on television so much, but we have a lot of very, very good players playing their trade in the European Tour, through the Asian Tour. We have, you know, lots of players on the American Tour that don't attract. And Dota is one of those. He's a, you know, European player. He's won a couple of times. He's had, by his own admission, a tough 12 months, but, you know, there's a lot of people around him and a couple of very smart judges who believe he has the game that will stand up under pressure this afternoon. Realistically, guys, it's a race in five. I think, you know, Ryan Fox could set it alight, but he's seven back. And, you know, I remember Greg Norman used to always say, if you're seven back last day, you're still a chance. And he could do something spectacular, but I'm wandering around the resort this morning. There's not a lot of breeze. The sun's shining. It's going to be set up for scoring again this afternoon. So you've got to think of those, of that top five in front of Fox, one of them will go low today and win this event. I tend to think it may be Scott because, look, he's played well with the exception of a couple of rough holes on the back nine yesterday and not a lot of putts have dropped for him. He's due his share of putts because he's been knocking it pretty close all the way through. Sandon, don't discount him. I think $10 Sandon is a great price because he never looked like making a mistake yesterday afternoon, guys. I mean, and he just, you know, he just ground his way out to, you know, a couple under again, and he's right there in the mix. So it's going to be a great day. We've got, you know, the established names like the Sandons and like the Scotts, and we've got these young guys like the Dotes and the Halls who are there and thereabouts, and then we throw in the international mix with Harold.
He's just one of those players, Pat, in regards to John Sandon, that, you know, 70, 68, 68, so he's been consistent through the first 54 holes, and he always seems to be around the mark, whether it's an Australian tournament or when he is available on the PGA Tour. And like you said, he's four off the lead, the same as Adam Scott. Adam Scott, obviously, the prestige and the name at $4 and John Sandon at 10, but he's just always quietly around the mark, and all of a sudden he's still in contention coming into the final round.
Oh, yeah, he's a real good player. Look, we all know that the problems he's had over his career have been, you know, the putter. And he's working on that. And I know I'm sort of prowling the foyer here at the moment at Royal Pines, and Ian Baker Finch is not sitting all that far away from me in a business meeting. And he's been part of it. He hasn't been the sole reason, but he's been part of it. And if you look closely at the television coverage today, he's keeping his head very, very still over the putter and letting it go through and letting it flow through. So, look, he's only going to make his share of putts this afternoon, and he could be a real contender.
And you refer to Harold Varner III, who is two shots off the pace. He was at the tournament last year and was really close to getting his hands on the trophy. And he's had a fantastic season on the PGA Tour, the previous one. They've already started their new season, but the four top ten finishes, and was it been really close last year. So he's only two off the pace. He'll be in that final group with Doat and also Ash Hall. So he's really up there and, as you mentioned, a fan favourite. And perhaps he's just taking a look at what Tiger's doing at the moment as well, because that's certainly created a lot of interest.
Yeah, you know, the thing I like about him is that he'll scrap and he'll fight right the way through to the end, because he had a, but in comparison to Sandow and Adam yesterday, who were in his group, Harold had an awful front nine. Missed greens, had to sort of get up and down, and, you know, was making putts from 12 and 13 foot just for par. And really, the score could have blown out and he could have lost the tournament right there, but he kept on scrapping. He made those couple of spectacular eagles on the backside, and then from an awful, awful lie, the ball was buried in the face of a trap up 18 fairway. He managed to get it up and out, and then, you know, hold one again from about that 15-foot range for a very good bogey in the end. So he'll keep fighting. He's a little bit like Spieth was at Royal Sydney a couple of weeks ago, guys. And, you know, I'm certain Jordan, you know, would admit that hit the final round wasn't his greatest round of golf, but he just, you know, there was no quit in him. And there's no quit in Harold.
And unfortunately for Ash Hall, he was the one that had to go up against Jordan Spieth in the playoff there, Pat. He's only two shots back as well. He'll be in that final group with Doat and Varner III. And just the confidence, I mean, he spoke about it, particularly after, with yourself, after the final round when everything was all said and done, that, you know, just really struggled to even make sure he just needed that to even keep his card alive
The stories aren't false, guys. I mean, he was genuinely thinking of just giving it away and doing something else. Well, you know, so many on the tour know what a great talent he is, but there's so many stories like this that, you know, only the elite few make it to the Jason Day and Adam Scott class where, you know, they're flying first class and staying five star, etc. There are so many on Struggle Street out there on the tour, and Ash was one of those. But he picked up just over 100,000 for his tied second at Royal Sydney. He's right in contention for a big check and maybe the winner's check this afternoon. If he gets the winner's check this afternoon, he gets a permanent tour. Well, not a permanent tour, but a free pass to the European tour for a couple of years. And it's a life changer for him. His demeanour hasn't changed. The other important thing about him, these greens are really tricky this week. He played a three-day pro-am here before this tournament. So he's had an extra long, hard look at these greens. And that may well work in his favour this afternoon. So I haven't really tipped you a winner so far. I've probably only confused you more. But look, if I was going to throw a little bit of the hard-earned on, it's hard to go past Scott. He's only four back. And, you know, he's due to make some putts. And I don't think he'll hit the water twice this afternoon like he did in the backside yesterday.
The consolation, I guess, for Ash Hall is the fact that he's got the trip to the
British Open
next season, so he's got something pretty much going there. Pat, even just quickly, just off to the Hero World Challenge, I know it's obviously a different time, and even with Queensland being an hour behind on our side, but just the talk of Tiger, the fact that he's doing reasonably well in the tournament, has that filtered through to the Australian PGA Championship, and just any thoughts coming through from, well, you mentioned Ian Baker Finch, just the fact that Tiger, it's always good to have him playing?
Oh yeah, well and truly. They've all been watching, and don't worry, you know, early morning up here, early morning in Sydney for that matter, but they know exactly what Tiger's doing. I mean, he's the biggest story in golf. He's one of the biggest stories in sport this week. And the fact that he's had so long out and, you know, he did state that he thought his game was back, and it only took him a couple of days to shoot a 65. And everyone here is pleased. Everyone here wants him back and wants him back playing at a level that is going to intimidate again, because they love it. And the golf, you know, the game of golf probably needs it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, well, it's going to be a tremendous final round. Obviously, Pat, you having trouble trying to pick the winner there. You're going with Adam Scott, even though he's four back, so that just shows how good the quality lineup is. Just those last two groups. So you've got John Sendon, Adam Scott and Ryan Fox. They're teeing off at 11:50 Sydney time, so 10:50 there in Brisbane. And then the final group of Andrew Doat, Harold Varner III and Ash Hall, they will be teeing off at midday our time. So right as the coverage starts there on Channel 7, and you can also view it through 7 Plus on the app if you're out and about. So, Pat, thank you for your time this morning. Going to be a tremendous final round for the Australian PGA Championship, and we had you on during the Australian Open. Thanks for your time during the last 3 weeks. It's been a pretty good summer of golf so far.
Yeah, and I think we'll have a worthy winner this afternoon, guys. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Good on you, Pat. Pat Welsh there from Channel 7. Now 13 after 10, and we've got the first of the one days in the cricket kicking off this afternoon from the SCG, Australia taking on New Zealand. From Fairfax Media, John Perrick is online. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Now, with the first of the one days to get underway this afternoon, the Aussies, I noticed, have come up pretty short.
In terms of
price, they're $1.36 and New Zealand $3.20.
Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it, considering New Zealand's, what, ranked number 3 in the world at the moment. They're not too far behind Australia in terms of points. So New Zealand's down to 3 or 4 key players at the moment, including Ross Taylor. They've got a few injuries. They're sort of going through sort of transformation themselves. But I guess Australia's ranked number 1, and hopefully they can sort of turn things around. It hasn't been the greatest of years, as we know. They're trying to rebound now from the 5-0 whitewash against South Africa in the one-day series over there, and hopefully they can do some good things today at this SCG.
Well, their last win was a bit of a boost for them, but got a couple of inclusions in the side today. Maxwell will no doubt he'd be right up there, wouldn't he, with the high bat market, Trent?
Well, in regards to the betting, so you've touched on the head-to-head, Australia $1.36 and New Zealand $3.20. Just with the high bets for Australia, Aaron Finch and David Warner, they're the $4 equal favourites. Steve Smith at $4.50, Glenn Maxwell at $6, and then George Bailey at $6.50. And we'll touch on the New Zealanders there, high bet. Kane Williamson's the $3.75 favourite. Martin Guptill at $4.50, Tom Latham at $5, Colin Munro $5.50, and then Henry Nichols at $6. And, well, Glenn Maxwell certainly put himself in the news over the last couple of days there, John.
He has, Trent, hasn't he? He generates a lot of headlines for a guy that sort of hasn't done a lot, I must say, in the last couple of years in terms of international cricket. He said, as we know, sort of through the week, he wanted to bat high for Victoria, and he was stuck sort of behind Matthew Wade, the wicketkeeper and captain for Victoria. And as we know, they're both in the team. So probably wasn't the smartest of things to say, but he's got a fair bit of criticism for that. But sort of from a media point of view, that's what we want. We want honest answers, don't we? So I wouldn't like people to get too stuck into Glenn. You know, he was asked a question, he gave an answer. And in some ways, it's fair enough. He's trying to sort of work his way back into the test team if possible. And batting sort of at number six for Victoria is sort of not going to get the job done. In saying that, he batted at number four against South Australia a couple of weeks ago and made 6 and 29. And he also batted at three against New South Wales and chasing quick runs and only made three. So as Darren Lehman said, he hasn't made a ton for a couple of years. So just sort of his own worst enemy, really. He needs a big score, and hopefully he can do that today.
Yeah, one of those situations there, John, that sometimes we bemoan the fact that we get sort of those, the cliche answers in regards to press conferences. And Glenn Maxwell, he was just asked, and look, he was being honest. He said, look, I'd like to be able to bat a little bit higher, but just a certain situation in the Bush Rangers lineup. But maybe for that one, that might have been one that you could have kept behind closed doors just in regards to that. And even just going away just from the one day for the moment, just the fact that there was a fine courtesy of the leadership group.
Yes, well, it probably didn't help that Matthew Wade's in the team. If Wade wasn't in the team, he may have got away with sort of saying what he said and not being fine, but the fact they're in the same team doesn't help. I can understand where the Australian team's coming from, but yeah, as I said, I wouldn't want people to sort of get too stuck into him. He just gave a general answer, and it's fair enough. All he was saying that he wanted to bat higher in the batting order. So, but it's up to him to sort of score these runs. He has a pretty good first class average of about 40, but just not quite getting those big innings, and he's the type of guy Australia would love to be in form during this summer with a view to India in February, where he could sort of be that third spinner, sort of spinning all rounder. So anyway, it's back in Maxwell's hands, and it's up to him to sort of step up in these 3-1 days.
Now, for both teams today, a little bit of a curious preparation because the Australians had the 3-test series against South Africa. We've got this 3-match, 1-day series here, the Chappell Hadley Trophy. That will be, well, today and then Tuesday at Manuka Oval, and it finishes Friday at the MCG. And then all of a sudden we're back to the pink ball test with the first of three against Pakistan. But New Zealand, they just had a 2-test series against Pakistan as well and barely had enough time to spray a little bit of champagne around the dressing rooms, and they got the flight straight to here.
Yeah, that's international cricket these days, isn't it, Trent? Like, this series we've got on now is a result of New Zealand agreeing to play the pink ball test last summer. It sort of came with some conditions. There were going to be 6 Chappell Hadley series to sort of reinvigorate this series, and there was also that $1 million worth of prize money for that test last summer. So we've got these 3 1-dayers now. As you say, we go into a Pakistan series, then we've got 5 1-dayers against Pakistan, and then we go to New Zealand for 3 1-dayers there, and then come back for 3 2020 matches here, which will be like a second 11 Australian team because the test squad and the best players will be over in India preparing for the series. So it's a bit of a discombobulated sort of summer, but just the way it goes at the moment, hopefully sort of the guys that are putting the fixtures together can just get just even things out a bit more and sort of get a few more Shield games, which is the big issue heading into the South African series. So it is what it is.
For this series, it's going to be a little bit of a quirky one because when we played South Africa over in the Republic a couple of months ago, we had the 5-0 series whitewash. It was against us, which wasn't the way we wanted it as parochial fans, but there wasn't Mitchell Starc, there wasn't Josh Hazlewood, and from what the indications are, even though this is a 3 1-day series, that as long as the series is still alive, that there won't be any rest. But obviously important because they world champions after beating New Zealand in the World Cup final in March of last year, but just that poor run of form against South Africa. So needing to bounce back with these 3 1-dayers.
Exactly. And Australia can't afford to be swept in this series because South Africa will take the top spot in terms of the one-day ranking. So yeah, there's lots to play for. Guys like Warner and Smith would want to sort of, you know, have some good form, which we can naturally take into the test series as well. Starc and Hazlewood as well, just to... Starc sort of needs more overs under his belt. He started to come good through the South African series, but as we know, because of his injury, he didn't have a great lead into the Test series. So, winning form's good form, isn't it? And that's what the Australians will want to maintain.
And for the Black Caps as well, I mean, the last time that we really saw them in the one-day series, well, Brendan McCullum has retired, also Daniel Vettori, Grant Elliott, and you touched on Ross Taylor. He won't be in this series. He's recovering from eye surgery. But they have got Lachie Ferguson, who around about a 150k bowler, so all of a sudden you've got Mitchell Starc for our point of view, but if they unleash Lachie Ferguson, he could make it just swing around a little bit today there at the SCG.
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't seen too much of him, but Steve Smith spoke about him yesterday, actually, and sort of mentioned how quick he can be. And, you know, you put him together with Bolt and Southey, that's a pretty good fast bowling combination. Colin de Grandhorn is another one to look out for, you know, sort of a throwback to the 1970s with his thick moustache, and made his test debut against Pakistan in November and was man of the match there. He bowls with pretty good pace and likes to belt the ball as well. So there's a couple of sort of new faces there. Hopefully Australian fans can get used to seeing, and hopefully they can do okay for the Black Caps, because at the end of the day, we want a strong competitive series.
So Australia $1.36 and New Zealand $3.20, starting at 2.20 there at the SCG. So maybe the tip is for Australia there, John, but maybe a bit of a surprise the fact that the odds are so far apart between the two nations.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, I must admit. Like, New Zealand's pretty good value, you would have thought, at those odds. Particularly with their batting order, like Kane Williamson's one of the, you know, top sort of four or five, if not higher batsmen in the world at the moment. And Martin Gupta, remember, he belted 90 at Eden Park against Australia earlier this season. His test record's a bit patchy, but he can get going in the one day. So, if you have a sort of spare few dollars, he's the type of sneaky batsman that could really get going at the top of the order and put in, you know, New Zealand's top score. So he's one to look out for as well. Obviously, there's no Brendan McCullum there anymore. He was sort of the heartbeat of that team, wasn't he, particularly in the one days. But there's still a lot to like about this New Zealand team. And this Australian team, well, they just haven't had any consistency this summer, as we know, and who knows what they're going to produce today. So definitely New Zealand's worth a serious think about.
Yeah, well, we've had red ball tests, we've had pink ball tests, and now we're going to have the white ball for the one day. So we've had a bit of everything already so far in the summer of cricket. So yep, looking forward to it. 2:20 this afternoon there at the SCG. John, as always, thank you for your time when you're available on Tab Talk, and we'll keep reading your views, or whether it be online or in print there for Fairfax Media.
Thanks, guys.
So John Pirrick there. Now, this time next week, Takedown will be representing Australia in the international sprint at Sha Tin, and his trainer Gary Moore's been good enough to join us. Gary, good morning to you.
Morning, gentlemen. Morning.
Now, how's he arrived? He's arrived in good shape. I saw a couple of pictures on Twitter yesterday. All seems to be in readiness.
Definitely. My son, David, who is looking after him with the young lady that took him to Melbourne and Perth, he went half a mile, three-quarter pace yesterday. He's done really well there. And she said he feels as well as what he did before he won the Winterbottom. So we're in very good shape.
So you're heading over there tomorrow. What sort of work does he have just for the week ahead leading into next Sunday?
I don't think he needs a lot. So what we'll do, I'll see him on Tuesday morning. And he will probably have a gallop on Wednesday on the course proper. Probably just go an easy half mile and home two maybe. But I think that'll top him off. He doesn't need any more than that.
And he certainly seems to have the racing pattern which can suit some of those Hong Kong sprints, Gary. I know we saw Chautauqua come from behind, but you don't often see that in the sprints. Normally, leading or trucking up just behind the lead, you can have an advantage. So he's got the style for it.
Definitely. Having ridden in Hong Kong successfully, he's the perfect horse to take. Hopefully to give me my first Group 1 outside of Australia internationally. He's got good gate speed, which you know, which he showed in Perth. I said to Anthony Thompson, if you're doing the draw, make sure you draw inside five. And I think if we get a good draw, he'll race prominently, and I think he'll be very hard to beat.
Do you know when they do the barrier draw?
We'll do it on Thursday morning after track work at breakfast, and we'll see how we go.
And the most important thing, Gary, after seeing you last week on Thoroughbred Weekly, that Takedown was pulled up a lot better than yourself, because there was a few jokes after the exuberant celebrations and as you got up the Ascot Rise that perhaps it was a fair distance back to the mounting yard.
Definitely. I think that, first of all, I need to go to the gym. And secondly, I need to get a bit more practice in. So hopefully we can do it in Hong Kong.
Well, obviously for ourselves, Rebel Dane will be heading there with Gary Portelli, but we'll be certainly keeping an eye on the two of you there heading over for the Hong Kong sprint there as part of the international races there on Sunday week. And, oh boy, I could only imagine what you'll be got us in store for everyone if Takedown happens to win there, the sprint there, Gary. So looking forward to it. And we'll also mention that you've got the three horses heading to Hawkesbury today, and they've all got pretty good chances, so a chance there to have a little bit of a celebration. We'll start with race three, where you've got Exceed the Moon, who's
who's currently $4.60, and Adam Hieronymus will be aboard. And, well, since the Winkers came off in October, the two wins at Gosford in the Class 1 and also Hawkesbury in the benchmark, 65.
Yeah, this horse has really turned the corner. He's put on body weight. He looks fantastic. He's got a very good jockey in the saddle. He's got the gun draw, and I think he'll win.
All right, well, there you go. $4.60, yeah. Simon.
Okay, so from barrier one straight to the front. Are you front today, Gary?
Yeah, that's my name, Gary Waterhouse Moore.
Okay, well, there's a good lead-up for our listeners then. Exceed the Moon there in race three. Now, over to race five, you've got James Innes Jr. claiming a kilo and a half on Absolutely Win, who's back in distance today.
He's been a disappointment. I think if he can run as well as what he did first time out this preparation, he'll run well. I think he's probably got a place chance. He looks well, and he's got a good young rider in the saddle.
What price have you got Absolutely Win there, Trent?
Absolutely Win is $6 there, Simon. So that's the fifth at Hawkesbury. James Innes Jr. will be in aboard there for Absolutely Win. Perhaps that name should go to Exceed the Moon after the confidence that Gary's shown there with the run there in the third for Exceed the Moon. So there you go. You've got Absolutely Win in race five, Gary. And then in race seven, you have Classic Records, who's currently $5. Adam Hieronymus will be aboard at Classic Records there. And just returning from a break, had the five starts with the win and the second. The win came two starts back at Hawkesbury and then had an unplaced run at Wyong, and then had the trial in a couple of weeks ago, only behind Rebel Dane, and that's a good idea. So just getting ready for this race today.
I thought his trial was excellent. He's had a few issues, but he's very fit. I don't know if he can beat Peter Snowden's horse, but he'll be right there.
And Gary, have you got anything that that you'll be taking to the Gold Coast for the Magic Millions next month?
Yes, I was very impressed with the two-year-old that won his trial on Friday by All Too Hard. He will run on Saturday at Rose Hill, and I think he'll be very hard to beat. And if he wins, he'll be the one that'll be going up to the Gold Coast at the present moment. But there'll be a few other two-year-olds that'll come out in the next week or two. In fact, there is two-year-olds trialing on Tuesday at Rose Hill, so we'll see how they go. And hopefully that Mount Panorama will run well at Wyong in the Magic Millions 3 and 4-year-olds race, and he'll go up to the Gold Coast.
Righto, Gary. Well, thanks very much for your time on Tab Talk. Good luck with those three at Hawkesbury today, but more importantly, good luck in Hong Kong next Sunday.
Very grateful to follow the stable this week. I think we can have two or three winners.
Good on you, Gaz. All the very best of luck.
See ya.
There he is, Gary Moore. So with the barrier draw coming out on Thursday, what price do you think Takedown would go up when the market goes up, Trent?
Just with the Hong Kong races there, Simon, there's no fixed odds betting. The Hong Kong Jockey Club doesn't permit fixed odds betting, and as a partner, we abide by that request. So there will be the tote betting. That will be available on the Sunday, and the pools are linked in, whether it be with the New South Wales tote or also with Supertab. So no fixed odds betting on any Hong Kong races, so we'll just be guided by the tote. But because it is linked in with the parimutuel betting over there, we'll get some sort of guide. But we'll obviously be hoping that Takedown can, well, for Gary, say, can get the money over there in the Hong Kong sprint, but obviously Gary Portelli with Rebel Dane as well. So a couple of representatives from our point of view there over in Hong Kong, Simon. Just with those three runners again at Hawkesbury today, so Exceed the Moon, $4.60 in race three, but after that, buoyancy from Gary, I imagine that price won't last long and you just should win. Absolutely Win in race five at $6, and in race seven, Classic Records at $5. So three really good chances there for Gary at Hawkesbury this afternoon.
Yeah, well, there was no real point asking him at the end which his best was for Hawkesbury. He told us there in the first one, didn't he?
He was just right on the money. He just said Exceed the Moon, just bang, straight away. So that's what I mean. Absolutely Wins running in, well, his second runner of the day. Perhaps that should be the name for the first. That was just very confident, just straight away for Exceed the Moon. So we've got the Hawkesbury card there this afternoon. Just to finish, Simon, I'll just mention that we've got the NBL, just the one game this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Melbourne United are $1.45 at home to the New Zealand Breakers at $2.75. $2.25. There's also a game tomorrow night to finish round nine. The Illawarra Hawks at $2.10. They're at home to the Sydney Kings at $1.75. The A-League, there's a couple of matches to finish round nine there at 5 o'clock at McDonald Jones Home Stadium. Newcastle are against Sydney FC. Newcastle $5.50. The draw $4 and Sydney FC $1.57. And then 7 o'clock this evening at Cooper Stadium, Adelaide United are $1.75. They entertain Wellington at $4.25 with the draw $3.75. So busy day of sporting action. Once again, the bet on the Australian PGA Championship. You do have to call 133-390. The coverage on 7 from midday, and you've got the day nighter at the SCG with the Aussies and the Black Caps, the first of the Chapel Hadley one-day series.
Now, looking forward to watching it later on. Thanks very much for your time on Tab Talk, Trent, and we'll talk a little later on.
Thanks, Simon.
Trent Langscale there. It's 10:30. We'll take a quick break, and then Fred Hastings with this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind.
Sky Sports Radio has every angle of the Inter-Dominion Championships covered.
The Shark has returned to win the Inter-Dominion.
This Friday night, it's grand final time at Gloucester Park, and trainer David Aiken pits his star pair, Lenny the Shark, and rising star Hector JJ against the rest.
There's no catching the Shark.
Get your daily updates on Racing HQ
before a big Inter-Dom Friday night with Gareth Hall and Tab's Adam Hamilton here on Sky Sports Radio.
USG Boral is a building materials manufacturer that offers more than just ceilings and plasterboard. We deliver innovations designed to help you build better. From creating the very first plasterboard to developing the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia with sag-defying strength, our legacy dates back more than a century. And with every project you do, USG Boral will be there with the products and advice you need. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
Celebrate Christmas with Bingley's 24 days of hot Christmas deals. The latest online catalogue is out now and is jam-packed with bargains. So head into a Bingley store or online at bingley.com.au and grab a deal during Bingley's 24 days of hot Christmas deals.
Showcase New South Wales Country Cup action is on Sky Sports Radio. Friday, we're off to Coffs Harbour for their rescheduled cup meeting. Gary Cleese and Anthony Collins will bring you all the excitement of Coffs Harbour Cup Day. Friday on Sky Sports Radio.
There's nothing better than watching a standard bread extend into his action. Hear it, feel it, live it on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
And Fred Hastings joins